Welcome. You're joining us for a deep dive. And today we're going to unpack the initial, what was it, seven sessions into the Sunless Citadel.
That's right. We've got the session log someone shared, which is fantastic. It follows a group of adventurers heading into this fallen fortress.
Yeah, they're responding to a plea for help, right? Someone's kids went missing near there. Carowyn Hugh Creel.
Exactly. Her son and daughter, the Creel children, vanished exploring the Citadel. So our party's mission, initially at least, is to find them.
Right. So for everyone listening, our goal here is to really pull out the key plot points from these first seven sessions. What did they find? What were the big challenges?
And what sort of story threads started appearing, for charting that first delve based on these logs.
And the logs seem pretty detailed. We get a good sense of how things kicked off.
Oh, yeah. And even early on, some intriguing stuff pops up. Strange plant creatures, hidden passages, maybe an untrustworthy guide later on.
And the captured dragon. That definitely caught my eye.
Yeah, we'll get to that. It's quite a start.
Okay, so let's dive into session one. The arrival. They get to the citadel entrance, described as a ravine.
A ravine, and right away, signs of activity. Old campfires, but also some recent ones, maybe 30, 40 days old.
Makes you wonder who that was. The missing kids, someone else.
Exactly. Sets up that question immediately. It's not totally deserted. Then they have to get down a 50-foot rope descent.
Not easy. Handholds helped, apparently.
Yeah, carved handholds. They land on this sandy ledge, looking out over this subterranean gulf of darkness. Great description.
Sets the mood, and then bam, giant rats.
Classic dungeon welcome, three of them, right on the ledge.
So they deal with the rats, then they find the main door into the citadel proper.
And more tracks.
Yeah.
Humanoid ones this time, about a month old. Could be the Krells.
Fits the timeline
And
and the door itself.
just closed, not locked, not trapped, which is
Wow.
interesting, maybe a bit suspicious.
Could be. So they go in. What's the first room like?
It's circular and pretty grim. Four dead goblins.
Okay. Recent kills.
The logs say about a month old, like the tracks. But here's the creepy part.
Oh.
One goblin is impaled, like pinned to the wall.
Whoa. Okay, so not just random monsters killing each other. That sounds deliberate. A warning, maybe?
Maybe. Definitely hints at something more complex going on inside. From this room, three wooden doors and also a tower, but the floors and stairs are missing.
So they check the doors first.
Yeah. South door leads to a corridor, more doors branching off. Northwest door, just an empty room, rubble.
And the northeast.
That one was different. A chamber with this rusty iron keg, pipes going into the floor. This is an old water pump system.
Huh. Anything in there?
Oh, yeah. Surprise. Two steam mephits burst out of the keg.
Steam mephits, little elementals made of, well,
Oh, man.
steam.
Nasty, nasty little things. Burns, steam clouds. The logs show the party scrambling, using fire bolts, wind spells, even ice. Tactical stuff.
Sounds chaotic. Did they manage? Okay.
They did. Took them down, and they found a small reward inside the keg afterwards.
Oh.
Two tiny sapphires. Not much, but something. After that fight, they wisely took a short rest in that keg room. An hour to catch their breath.
Good call. So that's session one, descent, first contact, weird elementals, hints of violence. Session two introduces someone important, right? Meepo.
Ah, yes, Meepo. Session two, they find this kobold. He's just weeping, completely terrified.
About what?
His dragon. He says goblins from below stole their dragon, a young black dragon named Calcrex.
A dragon. Okay, that's a major curveball. They went in looking for kids. Now there's a stolen dragon involved.
Completely changes the dynamic. Miko also mentions their leader, a kobold queen named Seraphina, and a guard structure. So we learn there's a kobold faction here too.
And the party decides to help Meepo.
They do. Maybe they felt sorry for him, maybe saw an opportunity, who knows? But they agree to help get Calcrex back.
So their objective just got complicated. Find the kids and rescue a dragon.
Pretty much. And Meepo offers to guide them through a secret passage into goblin territory as thanks.
A shortcut, but maybe dangerous.
Always a risk. Meepo guides them, points out a floor trap, so he seems genuine enough. But then a locked door blocks the way.
Ah, lockpicking time.
Yep. Thieves' tools, sleight of hand check. They manage to get it open, leads to an L-shaped corridor, another door.
And behind that door.
Goblins. Three of them. Quick fight. One tries to bolt.
Did they catch him?
They did,
they
and
experienced.
interrogated him. He confirms, yes, the goblins have the dragon.
Okay, confirmation. Anything else?
He mentioned a name. Yeg could be important later.
Another name to keep track of. So fight over, interrogation done.
They take another short rest, then they move on, find this long 20-foot wide corridor. And this is interesting. It has dragon-carved marble columns.
More dragon stuff. First Meepo's pet, now carving. Seems like dragons are a big theme here.
Definitely feels significant.
Yeah.
Maybe related to the Citadel's original purpose, or who built it.
Could be. So, session three, they go back to the kobolds.
Right, they report back to Queen Seraphina, tell her that goblins have Calcrix.
How does she take it?
She's interested, but immediately asks what the party wants in return for the info. Shows her priorities, maybe.
Yeah.
It's transactional.
No simple alliance then. Just factions looking out for themselves.
Seems like it. And there's this sad bit where Seraphina thinks Meepo died trying to get the dragon back. A total misunderstanding.
Oh, poor Meepo. Did Seraphina have any info for them about the Krells?
Actually, yes. A crucial piece. She says she saw the missing humans, the Krell children, going to fight the dragon. And they never came back.
Whoa, okay, so that links the kids directly to Calcrix. Maybe the goblins got them and the dragon, or the dragon got them.
Big question now.
Yeah.
It ties the two main goals together. After talking to the queen, the party checks another door in the kobold area.
Find what?
A guard room. Kobold guards, but they're friendly to the party, probably because they're with Meepo or working for the queen now. Show some internal order.
And they get something from these guards.
A key, but they have to rent it for 25 gold.
Rent a key in a dungeon.
Yep. For a specific door, one with a rearing dragon carved on it. More dragons.
There's even a little economy down here, so they use the key. Or not yet.
Not quite yet. They explore a bit more nearby first. Found a statue of a dragon with a riddle on it.
A riddle. What was it?
We come at night without being fetched? Something like that. The answer was stars.
Huh. So not just fighting and traps, but puzzles too.
Adds another layer. Beyond the statue, a room with a pit and a big marble sarcophagus. Dragon imagery again, locked with rusty clamps.
Did they try to open it?
Nope. They decided to leave it alone for now. Probably wise. Too many other things going on.
Okay, good call. So that brings us to session four. Back to goblin territory, using that rented key.
Exactly. They use the key on the dragon door. It opens onto this long, quiet corridor. Another stone door at the far end.
Traps.
They were cautious, rolled a rock down at first, just in case. Nothing happened.
Smart. So the door at the end.
Locked again. But Anna, sounds like the party rogue picks it successfully.
Getting good use out of those thieves' tools. What's beyond it?
An empty chamber, mostly. Rat droppings, tracks leading north,
Yeah.
but also a fountain built into the wall, carved with a diving dragon.
Another dragon found. And there was another door, too.
Yeah, stone door on the west wall, carved in relief. And then later, down another hallway, another fountain, lots of water features.
Maybe part of the Citadel's original design. And did they check for magic?
They did. Detect magic pinged on the dragon door they just came through and on one of the fountains. So magic is definitely woven into this place.
Interesting. What about that relief door?
It had a draconic inscription. They managed to translate it. Rebuke the dead, open the way.
Rebuke the dead. Ominous. Does that relate to the impaled goblin, maybe? Or something else?
Good question. It suggests maybe undead are around or were important here somehow. They tried saying the phrase near the western stone door.
Did it work?
Nope. Nothing happened. The door was just stuck. So they had to resort to brute force, pried it open.
And behind door number, whatever it is now.
A 20-foot corridor leading to five more doors.
Yeah.
This place is just a maze.
Choices, choices. Which leads us nicely into session five. Sounds like they picked a door that led to some action.
Oh, yeah. They chose one, and it opened into this domed chamber. Very striking visually, a central shaft glowing with violet light, surrounded by sickly-looking vines.
Violet light and sickly vines. Sounds unhealthy, like corruption.
Definitely gives that vibe. And it wasn't empty. Stone throne, iron chest at its foot, a weird little sapling in a pot, and a goblin chief, plus several other goblins, including one described as a sniper.
A goblin chief. Okay, so this is probably the main goblin presence they've bumped into so far. Boss fight time.
Pretty much. Combat breaks out. Chief's got a long bow. The sniper's taking shots. Other goblins rushing in. Party's using spells, Firebolt, Bless, Bane mentioned in the logs. Lots of melee and ranged attacks going back and forth.
Sounds intense. Any casualties?
One goblin actually fell into that central shaft during the fight, adds to the environmental danger. Eventually, they take down the chief.
Nice. Is that it?
Not quite. More goblins rush in from the south. The fight continues. Through another door, they can see this big pile of junk wagon wheels, broken armor, general scrap. Shows the goblins are scavengers.
Resourceful in their way. How did the rest of the fight go?
One goblin tried to run but got cut down. Then the party faced the remaining goblins, and apparently this included some non-combatants, women and children.
Oh, awkward situation. What did they do?
They used intimidation, made a show of force. The remaining goblins were terrified and started laying down weapons.
Then the party's decision.
They decided to let them go, let them leave the citadel. A merciful choice, but maybe one with consequences later. Who knows?
True. Always a risk letting potential enemies regroup. Did they find anything good after the fight? Loot.
Big time. Looted the fallen goblins in that iron chest by the throne. Found antitoxins, keys, healing potions, scrolls, but the most important finds.
Let me guess, Krell related.
Bingo. A necklace and a signet ring, both bearing the Krell family crest.
Okay, that's basically confirmation. The Krells were definitely here, and likely captured or killed by these goblins under this chief. Huge discovery.
Absolutely pivotal. Ties that initial quest objective right to this goblin group. So session 6, they push on from there.
Yeah, continuing to explore. They found another long corridor, this one with dragon columns again, but covered in luminescent fungus.
Wow, glowing fungus and dragon carvings. The aesthetic down here is something else.
Isn't it? And off this hall, several doors were partly open, leading into what looked like a laboratory.
Milak, the outcast laboratory, yeah. Small tables with alchemical tools, weird fungus samples, plant specimens. First real find of this Belak person they might have heard mentioned. And his interests.
So not just goblins and kobolds, there's someone else with stranger pursuits. Was the lab empty?
Nope, more goblins in there. Some were apparently drinking goblin wine, whatever that is. Another fight breaks out.
Never simple, is it? They also found an armory nearby.
Uh-huh. Stocked with arrows, scimitars, short bows.
Mm.
Shows the goblins were reasonably well equipped.
Okay. Where did they go after clearing the lab area?
Into a rougher cavern area. More growing fungus, but also bloodstains. Getting darker.
And they found?
A niche looked like someone's living space. A pallet, weapons, cloak, and two large nests with giant rats inside named Wrath and Fang.
Named rats? That's oddly specific. Did they attack?
Yep, fight with the giant rats. But then, a bigger surprise. A bugbear shows up.
A bugbear? Seriously? On top of everything else?
Yep, named Grip. Seems like he was protecting the rats, or maybe they were his pets. Anyway, he attacks. Ferociously, the logs say.
Bugbears are tough. How did that go?
It was a hard fight, but the party eventually brought Grip down.
Phew. Any loot from the bugbear's nest?
Found his weapons, great sword, javelins, stuff like that, and a hidden chest with a decent haul of gold and silver.
Okay, paid off eventually. What else in session 6?
Another door led to a room filled with more plants, and four figures tending them described as goblins, or maybe commoners, a garden of sorts.
Belak's garden, being tended by prisoners. Or helpers.
Unclear. But combat broke out again. The tenders were killed. In that room, they found another single sapphire. The logs cryptically note it's used to locate fire snakes.
Fire snakes. Okay, the ecology of this place is wild. Sapphires seem important, too.
Maybe keys or components for something. Lots of little mysteries piling up.
Definitely. Which brings us to session 7. The climax of this initial exploration, seems like.
Yeah, things really come together here. They check one more northern room, just full of sickly-looking plants. That theme of corruption again. Then they backtrack.
Back to where?
The dragon statue room. The one with the riddle. This time, they notice something they missed. A dark stone tile right in front of the statue, covered in runes.
Ah, a pressure plate. Or something magical.
A figure a sorcerer needs to stand on it and cast a spell. Makes sense.
Did they try?
Yeah. One of them cast dancing lights while standing on the tile, but nothing happened. Wrong spell. Or maybe wrong caster.
Hmm. Another puzzle for later, perhaps. We're next.
A room filled with fallen bookshelves. Looks like an old library, maybe. And they hear voices. Goblins. Behind a door on the far side.
Ambush time.
They plan a pincer move. Send someone to unlock the door quietly.
Dexterity check with thieves' tools.
Success. They burst in. More goblins. One is specifically identified as the protector of the Twilight Grove.
Twilight Grove, that sounds significant and maybe related to Balak's plant obsession.
Very likely. The fight gets complicated fast because twig blights suddenly animate and join in. Those plant creatures again.
So goblins and plant monsters working together or controlled by the same source.
Seems that way. The party focuses on taking down the goblins and the blights first, which leads them finally into the grove itself.
Well, into a clearing. And the centerpiece is this vile-looking tree, blackened, twisted, the Gulthius tree.
The source. And surrounding it, more twig blights, but also people. Two young humans, one middle-aged. But they're corrupted. Black eyes, gray skin, bark-like texture.
Oh, no. Could that be the Krells or Sir Bradford?
It's heavily implied. A horrific sight. And of course, they attack the party. So it's another desperate fight, this time against corrupted humans and twig blights, right at the foot of this evil tree.
They figure out the tree is the source of it all.
Yeah, the source of the blights, the corruption, everything. So they start attacking the tree itself. Spells, mundane weapons. Huh. They even throw an oil flask on it and try to light it.
Does it work? Is the tree vulnerable?
It seems resistant, especially to non-magical attacks. It's clearly powerful, deeply unnatural.
Wow. Okay, so they fought the corrupted people, the blights, attacked the tree. What about loot from the clearing?
Significant finds on the bodies.
Yeah.
Nail toxins, healing potions, a wand of entangle. But most importantly, Belhak's spellbook.
Belhak's spellbook. That's huge. Answers might be in there.
Absolutely. And they also find the Krell signet ring again, plus Sir Bradford's sword.
Sir Bradford's sword. So that confirms his fate, and likely the Krell children's fate too. Grim, but confirms what they needed to know.
Exactly. With the spellbook, the sword, and knowing about the tree, they've gathered a lot of critical intel. So the session ends with them deciding to head back to Oakhurst, report their findings. Makes sense. Okay, so wrapping up these first seven sessions, they went in looking for lost kids.
Right. Then got tangled up with Meepo, the stolen dragon Calcrix, navigated kobold politics and goblin territory.
Fought a goblin chief, found proof about the Krell's fate, discovered Belhak's creepy laboratory.
And finally confronted the source of the local corruption, the Gulfius tree, and its corrupted thralls, possibly including the very people they came to rescue.
It's a lot. The significance really stacks up, doesn't it? The Krell connection is confirmed. We see the goblins aren't just random monsters, but have some structure, likely under Belhak's influence.
And the Gulfius tree is revealed as this central corrupting power, a much bigger threat than anyone in Oakhurst probably suspected.
And the challenges were constant. The environment itself, the traps, the riddles, the sheer number of hostile creatures. Plus those tough choices, like helping Meepo, or letting those goblins go. Decisions that shaped their path.
So, the final thought for you listening. What do they do now? They have Belhak's spellbook. They know about the tree. They have proof about Sir Bradford and the Krells. How do they tackle this Gulfius tree threat?
Yeah, what's the next step for Oakhurst? And what secrets does that spellbook hold about Belhak himself and the power behind all this? These first sessions really set up some major questions for the future.
Definitely leaves you wanting to know what happens next. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Sunless Citadel's opening chapters.